This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Kuala Lumpur native Ganesh Bala is a musician, composer and producer who is interested in creating neo-traditional music that fuses rhythm and instruments from the West, from India and the Indo-Malaysian culture. So his debut instrumental album brings together Asian musical instruments with contemporary Western jazz, and that was just some of his music that you just heard. Ganesh and his band will be performing on the 30th of October at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre, and he is here with me today to tell us more. Thank you for joining me, Ganesh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So to begin with, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You come from a family of musicians.
Yes. So my dad, he kind of plays a few instruments. So he did play music as a part-time thing. So at my house, it's always music 24/7. So naturally, I took music lessons, and it stuck with me, you know, for a long time.
Yeah. Are you a full-time musician now?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And what are your areas? What genres do you play?
So when I first studied, I studied classical.
Classical Indian?
Classical Indian and classical Western
right.
music. So when I went to college, I did jazz music. So I majored in piano. So I would say both of that, jazz and classical, mm-hmm. yeah.
What made you want to make this your career?
Wow. I guess I'm really into it, yeah. Music, it has been part of my life since young. So it just naturally came with me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned piano, but you mm-hmm. haven't actually specialized in a specific instrument. You actually play a whole bunch of things, right? Mm-hmm.
So I started out with organ when I was 5. By 7, I took piano and then eventually guitar, drums and all the other instruments. But when I had to, when I went to college, I still had to choose my major
right.
instrument, right? So
yeah.
I chose piano. So I would say I am a pianist, mm-hmm. But at the same time, I play all the other instruments as well.
And when you perform or for your album, you know, do you dabble in all of these other instruments as well, or do you stick to the piano?
So the album is like a challenge for me. So when I did it, I wanted to play all of the instruments, and I wanted to also record, mix and master all of it by myself. So it was a challenge.
Oh, that's all. Is it a small thing?
Yeah. So yeah, the whole process took me a year to do it. But yeah, it was a fun experience.
What's the sort of enjoyment that in, you know, doing all of these things rather than just focusing on being a pianist?
Well, the idea of the album is it's basically my experience in my music, professional music career. So for the past 10 years, I've been performing with so many artists around internationally and also local artists. This album is what I feel and what I gain through my experience in the scene.
Mm.
Yeah. So for me to really tell that story, I think the only way is to, for me to do all of it by myself. Yeah. Yeah.
And other than the piano, what other instruments really speak to you?
Sitar, I would say. Because sitar is a very unique instrument to begin with. It's a very physical instrument to play. And it's also a lot to do with culture. Being a Malaysian Indian, it's I'm very into traditional Indian music.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sitar.
What would you say your main musical influences are? Who do you seek inspiration from?
A lot of classical composers, Beethoven, Liszt, Chopin, and also later on Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock. now Jacob Collier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even Carpenters. I love Carpenters. Yeah.
And what about the more traditional Asian aspect of it? Where do you seek inspiration for that from?
I love Vilayat Khan, Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. I also like some shakuhachi music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to making a debut album, right, it's a sort of both an introduction of the kind of music you do,
mm-hmm.
but in many ways it's also an introduction of your signature sound almost.
Yeah.
How would you describe that sound to someone who hasn't heard it?
Well, I know there are a lot of fusion albums out there,
mm-hmm.
but I think my album is different because I played every single thing in the album and it's 100% me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even up to like even a shaker, even those little percussions that we use, I think every single thing there is, it comes from me. I would say it's a new age fusion music. At the same time, I wouldn't say it's very modern. It still has the classical value to it. At the same time, it's easy listening. You could listen to it anytime. Yeah.
And one of the things I found really interesting about the album is this theme of nature,
mm-hmm.
right? You've talked about how the rainforest is an important symbol for you.
Yes.
And there's a strong thread of invoking the nature in
yeah.
the music. Where mm-hmm. did that come from?
Okay, so when I started composing the songs, I had an idea for every single one of them. So before making the music, I actually made the visuals first. So every song has its story. So a few of the songs in my album, it's about nature. And so when it comes to nature, like rainforest, for example, I'm a student in UMS right now. Mm-hmm. So I always travel to Sabah and it's a beautiful place to begin with. And the visuals that we took is mostly in Sabah. And with all the pollution and everything that's happening, I think it's time to look at these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have to do something about it right now before it all, you know. Yeah.
When you say you started with the visuals and mm-hmm. then the music came, what does that actually mean?
So... So I believe in composing through a story. So it's almost like film music. So I come up with an idea. So for example, there's a song that I made. It's called Jelly. Jelly is a term for a master storyteller, an African master storyteller. So this Jelly guy, what he does is he tells stories for hours. For like 3-4 hours, and people actually sit there and listen to him for hours, and I find that that's really amazing. How can you just talk and sing for 4 hours, and people can actually, you know, be drawn to that?
Mm.
So things like this, simple things in life, nature, and all these things.
So for that song, for instance, what was the visual that started it?
So, for that song, instead of getting the storyteller, what I did was I looked into batik, which is also very similar. When you look at how they make batik drawings, and it takes a lot of patience and, you know, focus to do
and
that.
And it's a continuous process, right?
So, yeah. it's like another master in, So, that's the idea.
And in terms of the sound then, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a particular image in mind, how do you then figure out what that would sound like? How does that translate into your music?
I pick certain instrumentations first. For example, for rainforest, I thought of, okay, what is rainforest? Definitely you imagine trees. So when you talk about trees, percussions, for example, that are made of wood, bamboo.
Mm.
This comes into my mind. So I try to go for the timber first. If I'm doing a song about water, for example, I would think about instruments that flow, like violin, like clarinet, for example. So, yeah.
Mm. And in terms of the different genres, mm-hmm. you know, because your album does mix Western jazz and Indian classical or Malaysian sounds.
Yep.
How do you... I know it's a very instinctual process,
yeah.
but I'm curious as to know, how do you know what you want to draw in and when you use this aspect and when you use that aspect?
Mm-hmm. So when we build a song, we come up with a few patterns. So it could be a melodic pattern or a rhythmic pattern. So when we have a few of those aligned together, you get a song.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the mood or the complexity of the song, we arrange it in a way so that it fits the song. Mm. Yeah.
You described your album as being, I'm quoting, interlaced with the sounds of both ethnicity and mm-hmm. evolution.
Yeah.
What does this concept mean to you when it comes to your music?
With all the instruments that I played, of course, there are like instruments like tabla, sitar. But at the same time, I also have a lot of electronic stuff going on. The synthesizer, a lot of sampling. I guess it's a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it the end result is I have a completely new sound. Yeah. But of course, you know, when you mix these kind of things, it's so easy to... really roja, going roja with it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a careful, well-thought mix, yeah.
Well, see,
yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because mm-hmm. that was going to be my next question. How mm-hmm. do you know where to stop instead of just like, I'm just going to mm-hmm. throw everything in because it sounds cool?
Yeah, like what I said earlier, you know, like when you have a few theme, a mm-hmm. few ideas, when you put it together, sometimes it works, sometimes it won't. So as a producer, I have to really sit down and listen 100 times to see whether it really works or not. Sometimes the lesser we have, the better. Mm. Yeah.
So getting back to that idea of wanting to reflect on the environment and nature,
mm-hmm.
What do you think the role of music and performance can be in getting people to mm-hmm. understand or relate to this idea?
I think music is very powerful to begin with. It has the power to teach, to educate indirectly, especially to the younger generation. Instead of telling, hey guys, don't do this, don't do that, or, you know, let's plant more trees. I believe in teaching youngsters through music.
Mm.
In fact, that's the same thing I do with my students. If I want to teach them something, I try to go indirectly with these kind of things and let them think about it and let them come to their own conclusion.
Well, we do need to take a break. But when we come back, I really want to hear about your upcoming performance.
Sure.
I'm speaking to musician, composer and producer Ganesh Bala, who has just released his debut instrumental album and will also be performing at a concert on the 30th of October at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to musician, composer and producer Ganesh Bala, whose debut instrumental album brings together Asian musical instruments with contemporary Western jazz. He's doing a concert with his band on the 30th of October at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre. So Ganesh, before the break, we spoke about your album.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know about the performance now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be very much in the same vein as the album? Album is?
Yes. But there's a twist to this because, like I said, I make my music through visuals. So unlike the usual instrumental concert, mm-hmm. what we're doing is we are playing over the visuals during the concert. So it's going to be really colorful and it's like a lot of stories to tell. Yeah.
And you are playing with a group of musicians.
Yes, I am.
Who are the others that will be performing?
So I'm really happy that I got these guys. These guys are the best. We mm-hmm. have, I have Steve Thornton on percussions, Norman Rahman on bass, Omar Ibrahim on drums, and Sriram on violin.
Mm. And what is the collaborative process between you like when it comes to performing?
I've played with these guys for other projects before, and working with them is it has been an experience for me for all these years. And I would say even the process of composing and making this album, they have contributed a lot to it through sharing their experience and yeah.
Are they the same musicians who performed on your album?
For some of the tracks. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the tracks, Mr. Norman, he co-produced it with me and he gave some really good inputs to it, yeah.
So when it comes to working out a performance, mm-hmm. you're sort of bringing the music from the album to yep. life on stage.
Yes.
But jazz is also quite... Mm-hmm. Jazz is also something that is spontaneous,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And often it evolves on stage on its own.
Yeah.
So is that something that we'll see a lot of?
Yes, for some of the songs, mm-hmm. definitely. There's a lot of, like you say, like jazz influence, improvisation going on. But at the same time, we would like to keep as close to the original so that you can have the full experience of the album. Yeah.
And what do the other musicians bring when it comes to the live performance for you? You know, what does it change?
Well, first, I would like to really hear what they would do and how they would interpret my music. At the same time, it would be fun, you know, to have a few guys doing it rather than me alone playing yeah. everything. Yeah.
So when you said that you will be playing with visuals as
yes.
well, what does that actually mean? What will the experience be like?
Yeah, so all the visuals are synced to our music. So every song has its own story and the whole concert is about a bigger picture, yeah. Mm-hmm. A bigger story, yeah.
Well, you're on the right show then.
Yeah.
And why is it different to experience your music live?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the subjects that I touch in my visuals and my music is about little things in life. Recently, I had a chat with my friend about how much time we spend on our phones, mm-hmm. for example, that we forget about things that are happening around us. So I have songs and visuals that are mostly about this. Simple things in life, simple things like smiling and saying hello, talking to someone and and caring for nature and animals. Yeah, yeah.
And when it comes to the live performing aspect, mm-hmm. right, when you take Western instruments or
yeah.
Asian instruments, even the music itself, the performing style and mode mm-hmm. is quite different.
Yes.
So when you come to perform it on stage,
yep.
how do you sort of create that unification?
So I had to make some changes, definitely. For example, I'm playing piano and mm-hmm. then suddenly I had to jump into sitar. Well, mentally, I need to reset
yeah.
my mind mm-hmm. that I'm going to play sitar right now. The technique is different. And also, even the sitting is different.
Mm.
For a sitar, I need to sit mm-hmm. down and piano, I have to be on the stage, on the bench. So I had to like find a way to like, how am I going to adjust the sitar on the bench? Yeah, so things like that. So, yeah.
And what you also mentioned that it's a mental shift as well.
Yes.
What is that like?
Well, that is something that I practice mm-hmm. all the time.
Sure.
It is not an easy thing to do, definitely. But yeah, that's the challenge I take to the concert. Yeah.
And tell me about the compositions themselves. So mm-hmm. they're all instrumental?
Yes, they are.
What are the different moods and sort of styles that we'll be experiencing?
Well, there will be a lot of jazz, a lot of Western classical, a lot of Indian classical, and also a lot of Malay music touched mm. to it. Yeah.
Why do you think that creating these moments of, I suppose, cross-cultural encounters mm-hmm. through music is important?
I believe this... let's look at jazz, for example. When I went to college, like a few years back, I never thought that I would learn jazz. And jazz is it's an American music, right? And today it's here.
What did you join to learn in the first place? I mean, what was your initial...
I went for a classical course. And then I realized...
Western classical.
Yes. And then I realized there's a course for contemporary music, jazz music. And I went for it. I changed my course and took it. But when you think about it, it's an American music to begin with. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Today we have this music here in Malaysia. And that is the thing that came into my mind. What if I want to bring Malaysian music abroad? What do I have to do? So it's the same thing with jazz. Jazz had to evolve so much throughout these years. So many influences, the Latin influence, the Indian influence to it. And it succeeded because it adapted very well to the world. It could adapt anywhere. So I guess it's the same thing with our music. If we can adapt with the cultures in the world, I'm pretty sure we can bring it anywhere.
And how does this music build on, I suppose, what is called a Malaysian sound? Mm. To you, what makes your music Malaysian?
Well, when I was growing up, learning all these instruments and going to school and having all kinds of friends, I never realized how important our multiracial culture is. Only up until recently, I realized after performing abroad and working with international musicians, I realized that this is something that nobody has. It's really unique. I have met international musicians that come here to experience us, and they bring back what we have, and they do it really well with their music. But my point is, along these years, I realized that this is our trademark. This is us. Mm. And if we don't do anything about it, it's not going to go anywhere here. Yeah.
So do you see your music as a continuation of the Malaysian musical tradition, if there is such a thing?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I would say I'm Malaysian music. Yeah. Because everything that I make, that I made in the album, is all about my experience in Malaysia, working with Malaysians, learning with Malaysians. I would say this is the Malaysian music. Or maybe a Malaysian traditional, classical, neo-traditional music. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said earlier in the interview that lots of people make fusion music these days, right? So why should we come to your concert?
Well, one, of course, for the visuals.
Yeah.
And the other thing is... every segment, every arrangement of the music is made to made for a show. Definitely, it's going to be very surprise. There's a lot of surprising moments there. So yeah, you will catch that in the concert. Yeah,
thank you so much, Ganesh.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to musician, composer, and producer Ganesh Bala. He's just had his debut album out, which is an instrumental that brings together both Asian and Western instruments and with a contemporary jazz feel. He will be performing at a concert with a group of musicians on the 30th of October at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre. Tickets are priced at 100 ringgit. And for more information, you can visit deepak.com.my. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. I will leave you now with a little bit more from Ganesh Bala. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.